Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns and I've got another guest in the studio coming up today. I've got the amazing Kevin Woods, who's completed the whole round of the Scottish Munros in one winter, which is a pretty amazing feat. If you don't know what a Munro is, there's a list of Munros. There are mountains in Scotland over 3,000 feet, and I think I'm right in saying there's 282 of them, although I'm sure Kevin will know. How you doing, Kevin? You okay?
Hello, yeah, very good.
Good, good. Now, so am I right? There are 282 Munros, is that right?
Yeah, we are currently sitting on 282.
Yeah, yeah. It does change oddly that number, doesn't it? Some peaks sometimes get promoted and then they get demoted.
Yeah, it's not entirely consistent, but it's still a brilliant hill list. And if they were to tweak it here and there, I'm sure people would still go. Well, people still do go out climbing them all.
That's right. So, yeah. That's right. Sometimes several times in their lifetimes.
Sometimes.
But,
yeah.
What do you think? So tell me about the walk that you did. So when what sort of time of the year did you start out?
Okay, yeah, so the whole thing with the Winter Munros, I just finished it about a month and a half ago or something, yeah. And it was a three-month trip around all the Munros, and I started it at the end of December, so on the shortest day of the year.
Oh, right, that's the 22nd, I think, isn't it?
It was the 22nd, yeah.
Wow, so you must have done a lot of walking in the dark.
You're not wrong. There was a lot of walking in the dark. Sometimes by choice, actually. I kind of enjoyed it if the conditions were right for it, especially when the moon comes up and you get a bit of a view, so it's not pitch dark. But sometimes weather fronts would come rattling through in the middle of the day, so it would be calmer in the evening. Right. So that was enjoyable. That was good.
Right. So you managed to get like 3 months off, and where did you get the idea of doing the winter round? Because not that many people have done it, really, have they?
Yeah, the first time I think I didn't think it was a wholly miserable idea, because let's face it sounds like a horrific idea.
Yeah.
Was actually reading Mike Cawthorn's book, Hell of a Journey.
Oh, okay.
A friend gave it to me, and like his writing is so good that I just went, oh, wow. Like, I'd been out in winter a lot by that point, but I'd never thought of it in that way. And sort of, yeah, just after that started thinking, actually, do you know what? A winter round would be good.
So you're obviously a pretty experienced walker before and climber, I think, before you got into that. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd had most of the, I suppose, out of all the things that you might want to have together to do the Winter Munros, I had most of those together already. But there were a few areas of my game that maybe I hadn't developed. One of them, for example, was winter climbing. I'd never done any, so I started doing that for a few seasons. But in most cases, I'd already been around the Munros a couple of times, so I knew the hills. And this was kind of adding on to that, putting the winter season on top of it.
Oh, right. So you were new, but you were relatively new to winter climbing then?
Just the climbing side of it. It was just something I'd never really got into. But I'd obviously known that, well, if you're going to go around Skye and Torridon, of course, then you want a bit of terrain in hand. So, I mean, it wasn't just for the Winter Munros. It kind of happened anyway, but it definitely helped. So I had a few seasons of kind of getting going with that. Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, cool. Okay. And I think you told me you're selling the van that you used. But so did you do it? First of all, did you do it on your own, or did you have some sort of support?
Yeah. So it was pretty much like majority myself.
Right.
Just me and my van and going around doing the hills. I did have support, and to be honest, the support made a huge difference, and that was both family, and it was also friends as well. And it was anything, you know. Folk would just bring food unannounced, folk would come along for the hill days or meet me at a bothy. So yeah, tons of support, and it all did help. But I suppose majority myself, but I couldn't have done it, I suppose, in the sort of time that I did it if folk hadn't come along, and that was a really fun part of it.
So tell us about your biggest days. Presumably you had some days where you'd start out one end of a ridge and people would pick you up at the other end. Is that right?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. There were some really good ones. I suppose the first day that I thought, oh, that was brilliant, was Hogmanay, 31st of December. It was just sparkling, stunning. And I did the Buccleuch of Moher, Itch of Bake, and then across to Bigeon and Bain.
All right.
In like 7 hours of daylight, and I got down just as it got dark. That was a brilliant day. Some other ones. All right, yeah.
That's in Glencoe, isn't it?
Glencoe, yeah, the south side of Glencoe.
It's a fantastically what's the word? Scenic hill, isn't it?
Oh yeah, pretty iconic. Yeah,
it is.
I spent a couple of years living at Ballyhoolish.
So you must know it well.
Driving past it every day. Yeah.
Well, it's on biscuit tins throughout the world, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, a lot of people will recognise it. Yep, it's a great mountain, great for climbing on, and
yes,
it's a brilliant viewpoint.
Oh yeah, it is amazing, yeah. That sort of standing over the head of Glencoe there. So, yeah. what was your kind of longest day then?
Good question. So, in terms of, there was a lot of standouts actually. Let me think.
It's quite hard.
I suppose the single. Yeah, maybe the second. Let me think. The Mamores could have been the biggest. So that's 10 Munros. It's about 33, 34 kilometers. It's about 3,500 meters climbing. And there were days that were maybe just slightly smaller than that. So I did a big round all of Ben Alder. So the 6 Munros there. And that was, I did that to actually Ben Alder Cottage. And that was like maybe 33, 34 kilometers, maybe slightly a shorter day. But some of these were big and they were great. Yeah. In terms of time, the Coolin gave me some long days. I think I had about a 12-hour day on the Coolin times. Yeah, 2 12-hour days. So
Yeah.
It was good.
So to be honest, my legs are aching thinking about it, you know.
You're welcome.
Days. So you used quite a few bothies. I mean, you mentioned Ben Alder Cottage there. Did you have that place to yourself or other people there?
Oh yeah, that was one of my favourite experiences of the winter, was going to Ben Alder Cottage. There was nobody else there. In fact, there was, but they were in another room. But we had the place to ourselves. It was just great, quiet, clean, stocked up. Just had a great night, and it was part of a great trip as well. I think it was because it was the only period in the whole winter where we had two good weather days side by side together. The first day was like sparklingly beautiful. Did all the Ben Alder hills, Ben Alder, and then down to the cottage. And then the following morning was just the sunny sun rising and going over to Loch Ossian again. It was just great. And yeah, really nice. Really nice.
So did you come out via Caroll Station, did you?
Yeah, in and out. So I was in at Fort William at the time. So I took the train back out.
Yeah, I've done that myself. Right. And that's quite a good trip, isn't it? Because there's actually, if I remember rightly, there is a train relatively late. There's one about 9:30 or something going back to Fort William. So you can get the train in the morning, do a decent walk and get the train out at night, can't you?
Yeah, I think when I did it, I think the train, it was something like 7 in the morning. So it was just at first light.
Right.
And it was, and it, most of the winter was like drizzle, low cloud, rain, snow. Yeah. And wind. So it was one of the few mornings I remember looking at Ben Nevis, Carnmore-Jerrick, and just seeing these little puffy wisps of cloud just tearing off them, and then you can see the sun coming up. And it was one of the only times that ever happened, because it was some of the only good weather. It was great. It was a really nice day. And then big day.
It is an amazing area, that. Yeah, it's a great place. I've done that myself, and when I did it, I sort of failed to get into Ben Alder Cottage because the rivers were too high. And but it was in winter.
From Cunora?
Caroll Station. And I got back there and it was pitch black. I don't know if you were there in the dark, but it feels pretty surreal because there's nobody else there. And you think, the trains actually turn up here, you know?
Yeah, so I suppose, yeah, and a sort of winter night is kind of a very quiet, dark place. Yeah, I got it in just great weather, and one of the nice things with all of that area was it was such a long day on the way out from Cunora Station that when I got to Ben Alder, the sun had set, but I think there was It was completely clear over the entirety of Scotland.
And I'm wandering
about myself up onto the sort of plateau rim of Ben Alder. So snow on the mountain, completely dark with the sort of twilight of the sort of sunset, and just wandering around the top of Ben Alder, like myself in winter and the night. I was like, this is ridiculous. So, like, you can see the whole of Scotland. You could see like the lights in the Southern Highlands, and you could see lights twinkling at Aviemore, and you see everything, yeah, because it's such a central high point, as you know. And of the most I mean, if you like, if you ever wanted a reason to do the Munros in winter, that's like really, there you go.
That's the best one to do. You mentioned the weather, obviously, which is a massive factor in doing anything like that. And I was quite surprised in a way that you managed to do it this winter, because it was, from my experience, it was a pretty windy old winter.
Yeah, I think that would totally sum it up. Yeah, it was really just continually windy.
It was continuously windy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What else to say? Hey, I would hate to sound like an over egg it, but I think it's actually not possible to over egg it. It just, yeah, constant storms.
And it wasn't always, well, you know, these days winter sort of is a very transient thing. It sort of comes and goes, or can do very quickly. And my memory of it is that, there was a very cold spell in November. In fact, it went cold in November. Burns freezing over and stuff like that, you know.
I was prepping for it then and thinking, wow, this is, you get it, it would get it like this, it'll be like this. clear cold, and yeah, that didn't happen. That's probably an important distinction to make, where it was December to March was right ridiculously stormy, but it wasn't necessarily very, very cold. So the first 5 weeks, December into January, the snow, as you say, was really transient. And then from February, in fact, February and March were really full stormy winter conditions. Yeah. So the second half was just violent, really violent weather. But yeah.
So when did you actually finish the walk then, the round? Well, the climb, I think, is a better word for it in a way, really.
You mean the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was it's actually worth going into that. So that was a really weird period, because I'd got so held up with bad conditions in the northwest that it took me most of February and most of March. And as everybody knows, by the end of March, things were really ramping up with coronavirus.
Yes.
And so then what happened was I was in a situation where I was like around the Ullapool Road, so like Ben Jerrick, Fisherfield. And I was like, oh, I've got like 2 days to go. And the country gets locked down. So I would say, I mean, not without a huge amount of thinking and a lot of stress, a lot of doubt about it, is that
we're really under the hammer.
Trying to finish.
The last few days. But it would have really
kind of head down and get it finished.
Now, obviously, it would be a real pisser if old Boris had come on when you only had about four hills to go and said, that's it, you got to stay in.
I know. It wasn't like, you got it. I mean, if it had been like, it's hard to say, because for me, it was still a really horrible decision to just keep walking. Because if you think about it, the thing was just under 100 days, and say I was on like, it was 97, it turned out to be. And if I was in day like 96, I think it was, can you imagine doing like 7% of a challenge? And then it's like, oh, no, you can't. So I was just like, do you know what? I'm just going to keep my head down, shut up, and just get it done. I was really worried about how that would look as well. Of course I was, because of course it's like, I mean, absolutely justifiably, everybody should, you know, stay off the hills. Yeah, and so it's a bit big of me to say, oh well, I'm just going to continue. You know, it's like that, oh god, it made the end a bit
made a bit of a push by the sound of it. And I mean, though, we had a sort of phony lockdown for a while, didn't we, for just a few days, when people weren't sure whether you could go to the hills or what you could do or what you couldn't do. And it became pretty crystal clear. I mean, I was heading over to the West Coast. I had my bag packed and everything ready. And then Boris came on the telly and So that's it. That was the end.
Because I was under a week away from finishing, and there was a sunny Saturday, Sunday that everybody went out. And I was out in there. I was out at Mallardach in Mona. That was one of the great big days you were talking about of my winter, was to go over all the Mona hills to Bairnes, stay a night in Bairnes Bothy, and over past Lurgvor, and then through the big, if anybody knows, the big hinterland behind Loch Mona, and then across to the North Mallardach Fore. That was flat out amazing, and the weather was some of the best weather of the winter. But that was sort of tempered as well by, you could feel everything closing in. Yeah. So it was also, you know, but once I got over to the civilization side of those mountains, sort of the phone starts pinging again, and people start asking you about, what's happening? And it's like,
So you didn't camp at all, I take it, or did you bivvy at times, or I don't know?
It was mainly, so it was either van, staying with friends, bothies, and was there any bivvies? I don't think I did bivvy. I think the weather was too bad. Sky, I did, Sky I actually did in 2 day trips.
Right. That's pretty going. That's in winter. Because the Sky bridge in winter is pretty challenging, isn't it?
It was one of the things was that I felt really lucky. I was looking back at some of the footage I shot of the Coolin. And when I was there, having come out of just these really, really bad days of weather at Glenshiel, the weather at the time seemed, this is really pretty good on the Coolin. And I was looking back, and it was only okay, but the sort of, everything had sort of been reset.
Well, with the wind and stuff, obviously, the Coolins and things could be completely out of the question, actually, couldn't they? So
very quickly.
Day, you know?
And so at least I got 2 pretty calm days,
Good. And what would you so those are the high points. What would you say the low points were?
It was quite good in that there really wasn't too much in terms of low points. I really managed. I suppose you can get to the psychology side of it, but from a head's point of view, I sort of felt that you'd just be wasting your time getting all low and down about it. So I was always like, right, rather than getting low about it, just chill out. if something's not right, just take it easier. Don't try.
There were no points when you were like completely knackered and just thought,
there was one, and I was up in the Northern Highland Munros.
Right.
And they are slightly shorter days, but I don't know. I just ended up with a bug. And that was really it. I mean, it wasn't like headspace low. It was just I had a bug and the body was just exhausted. And it wasn't exhausted doing big hill days. It was getting shut down trying to do really pretty easy hill days. So I took one day off and then I was fine again. And
that's great.
I mean, it wasn't too. I mean, I felt really knackered on Ben Clibrek. Like, just I'd like to sleep, to be honest. But it wasn't too bad.
So you must have. So you got really used to van life, did you?
I bought a van. I'm selling it at the minute. So if anyone fancies a van, I bought it in December and did a basic conversion to it. And I mean, it didn't really come up short. It was good. And it's not nearly as grim as it sounds. Because I had a big gas canister in it. I had a stove. I had a hob. It was kind of sorted, you know.
Yeah, and to be honest, by the sound of it, you must have just been eating, walking, and sleeping, basically. So you weren't in the van terribly long, really.
Well, kind of, to be honest, I sometimes did spend maybe quite a lot of time in the van if there was a reason not to be in the hill with weather, but I wasn't really driving very far because by the time everything else happens, there's no point in, you know, going for miles just to catch a little weather window. You know, it's just totally knackered all the time. So there's no point in driving if I didn't have to. Yeah.
So how much time did you spend actually planning the sort of logistics of this then?
So like beforehand and leading up to it. Multiple sides to that because my first round of Munros. So I finished a round of the Munros in general back in 2013. And I did a second Munro round as a summer in 2013. So yeah. I've actually I've gone and done the Munros in 3 months before. And so this was actually quite similar to that, because it's very much the same mold, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could put that down as being a kind of preparation, which was, walk every day for 3 months. But then there was other specific things, because I knew that, well, if you're doing the winter thing, mm-hmm. then you're talking about, can you get across rivers? What's the deal with avalanches? Yeah. Can you use little quirks of terrain to get around bad snow conditions? Or yeah, so you end up geeking out on weather and topography and slope angles and get outs. Yeah. So I just do it really. It's really just daydreaming and plotting and doodling and maps. And I would also do a thing where I took down the weather conditions for all the previous winters leading up to it. So every day I would look at basically from end of November to about April, I'd look at the MWIS forecast.
Right.
And make a plan as to, right, what would I do in this day? And then for that day, I would write down all the weather stats for like Cairngorm and Annachmore, Beálachnabá. So it gives you a sense of what the weather is actually doing. And yes. if I did a hill day on that day, it would be even more weather. So things would happen where you would have a horrific wind forecast and it's like, oh, I couldn't possibly do anything on the Munro round in that. But then I would go out on a hill day. I'd actually have a really good day. And things were much more complex than you'd maybe give credit for if you'd only looked at a forecast. And I would slowly come around to the conclusion that it's actually this winter thing works. This will fly because I've backed it up with data there in the weather.
So that was probably really cool. Is it kind of like choosing the right hill for the right weather then?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And just trying to, work your options to the...
I mean, for example, if it's really windy, the Cairngorms aren't really probably the best place to be, you know?
There's so much to it, and in all sorts of scales, because it could be like if you were doing a day and it had a river crossing at the end of it, then you could say, you could do that in the morning before it rains. But then there might be a second thing. It's like, well, if you do that, but you're walking into the wind all day, then your route doesn't work. So can you get the wind to your back? But if you do that, you'll get blocked off by the river. So that route doesn't work. So it's kind of three-dimensional juggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's tons of that. And I suppose the familiarity thing with the hills.
Yes.
Comes into play at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, go on. I'm just going to say that, you know, when you're talking about river crossing, and that's often a thing that people don't sort of calculate for, because, I mean, as you know, the Highland rivers, if they're in spate, they can be pretty well impossible to cross.
Yeah. I think for the Highlands as well is that within my style of doing this winter round by the van, and you could pick your days.
Yeah.
That did help. And also, just using the terrain in the right way definitely negated needing to cross most rivers. You didn't need to do that too often, but there are some areas where you have to do it. And I was always pretty careful just with the, has there been a thaw, as you say, has there been rain? Will that work okay?
So you've obviously got a lot of experience and you had a great round. Are you planning to put this into a book or anything?
The plan is to, I'm just pulling all the materials together, so I am going to write a book. I'm just getting that all on the go now.
Right.
And the plan is also, I've got a pile of material, and I did a YouTube vlog of the whole thing, so my family would take turns coming up to meet me, and we'd trade out camera cards, and every week my brother would put together a weekly video of what I was up to.
Oh, brilliant.
That's all there, but it also means there's a pile of video footage, so I'll do something with that as well, get a film out probably towards the end of the year.
Sounds great. Yeah. Have you got your own website as well, did you say?
I put all my mountain stuff up there, and it's just my own personal website, but it's got all sorts of stuff on it. Yes, kevinwoods.co.uk, but it's it was started as a casual log for all my hill stuff, but I keep everything updated and just where I've been, what I've been doing, photos, etc.
Right, right. So you obviously, so you've got a lot of plans. I mean, you're going to write a book, and I know how long that takes.
Yes, I know. I know, you know, yeah.
and you're going to hopefully produce a film. So have you got any projects or anything you'd like to? I mean, obviously you must be very experienced in the hills. What next? Have you got any plans to do anything else or?
Yeah, it's funny with the, well, I mean, with the whole
Well,
virus
once we're out of
situation,
lockdown,
it's once
yeah.
we get out of lockdown, I know. Yeah, I've got sort of ideas, plans. I did have that thought. It's like, ah, right, what, I mean, I'm not too fussed about thinking what next at the moment. I think it's good to just
Yeah.
run down. But yeah, I would like to build up on it in the future.
You probably need a bit of a sit down right now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of other stuff as well. I mean, climbing wise as well, I've not developed as much as that walking side. So I'd probably like
Well,
to think
I mean,
about
it's
that.
very difficult if you to be an all-rounder, isn't it? To do a lot of walking or a lot of climbing, it's quite tricky to try and to sort of balance all that together.
Yeah. I know it's, I mean, yeah. I mean, you may have found that as well if you do any climbing, is that two kind of don't really work together. Have you noticed? Like,
I have.
to an extent, I mean, you can go climbing in the mountains, but ultimately, if you're trying to pull yourself up with fingers, it's going walking and using your quads is just not really what you need to do. So, yeah, yep.
So yeah, and I found particularly I used to climb a lot in the winter, and I find that actually you suddenly when I stopped climbing and started going back to walking, I suddenly realized there were loads of areas that I'd not been to. Because you tend to go to the better winter climbing areas most of the time,
All right, so had you done the thing where you were winter climbing first and then you went to walking?
No, I started out walking and then I gradually got into the winter climbing and all that sort of stuff. But once I started winter climbing, I kind of stopped walking. And
Right.
I found, well, you have to do a fair bit of walking if you know into winter climbing, if you know what I mean. And then, so I kind of came back to walking, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Because I found that a lot where I didn't anticipate it before I got into climbing because I was walking first. Where, I mean, obviously all the mountain regions, despite being mountains, there of course there's not really much in the way of the climbing there, so you won't see climbers going there. So people often congregate for climbing. They'll be in the coasts or even lowland areas, quarries, cuttings, anyway. So it's completely different. But that, I mean, that overlap is nice where you do get all the mountain crags. But yeah, they are slightly different. Definitely slightly
Definitely,
different.
yeah. My climbing career, I'm not so much over the hill as down the cave. I've gone right the way down now.
That's one way to put it. Right, okay.
And now I can't do anything at all because we're locked in. Anyway, Kevin, it's been great to speak to you. I certainly look forward to seeing your film and reading your book. And it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Great, Alison. Thanks for giving us a shout and good to chat.
Okay, you take care.